Then you, come on, give the creative team a real hand. They do an amazing job week in, week out. Absolutely beautiful. Maybe the guys at the back got some PowerPoint up there for me. We're doing a series on the armor of God, and I'm going to skip one part of that and jump to another part of that just because I can. Can I read this again? Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And everybody said, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. We pray that you would just use this word, God, just to change us from the inside out. And everybody said, amen. Well, we've talked about a lot. We've talked about truth. We've gone through a lot of the parts of the armor of God. And we're on to almost at the end. It's been a long time, this series. Who's enjoyed it? You know, I think it's always good to know what God has given us to live this life. Live this life with the success that God wants us to live it with. And so we're up to, we're actually up to the helmet of salvation. But I'm going to purposely skip that because it's all in the same verse 17. And I'm going to jump into the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Is that right? And you got to understand, we've gone through a lot. I'm not going to backtrack. We haven't got time for that. But the sword that Paul talks about here, it's the only part of the armor of God that is offensive, not defensive. Everything else is defensive, whether it's the breastplate or the helmet or the feet shod or the belt. Everything else has its purpose for defense, but the sword is something that is offensive, something that we use to forge out this life that God's called us to. And it's the only part. And you've got to understand, with the Roman soldier, they were actually given more than just a sword. They're actually given a dagger, and they're actually given a spear or a javelin. And they were actually given another thing. They were given little darts that they could throw. And so they were armed with a lot, but God only picks on one part of that. So, and this sword is called the gladius. Can we put that sword up? Should come up any second now. There it is. And for all those boys out there, the term gladiator comes from this sword. This sword was famous. It actually, the Romans used it. They adapted it a few times. And of its time, the Romans stole it from the Spanish. They met some Spanish, and they came up against the Spanish in a battle, and they noticed how effective the sword is. So the Romans flogged it, and they used it for literally hundreds of years. They used this sword, and it was unique. It was a double-edged sword. Most swords weren't. They just had one sharp edge and one blunt edge. But this one of that time was a double edge, and it was short, and it was powerful, and it suited the Romans perfectly because they used to form in big lines with all their armor. They had a lot of armor, more than most people did, those big shields we talked about last week, and it was a sword that they could slash with, but more than anything, they could thrust with. They would poke out from behind their shield in close combat, and they would just Like, I'm getting nasty here, but that's just the way it was. And they would come up close, and this thing had to be something that was agile and they could use it quickly, and they didn't want something big and long. And they even picked which side the Roman used to take his sword out, because what they learned in earlier times is that when they used to get in formation, when they had it on the other side, the Romans used to cut each other. They'd pull out a sword and slice the person next to them. So they had to keep it nice and short because of everything that they did and the way that they fought. Is this too much information? 24 inches long would be the 2 inches wide. And it had that little pointy bit was absolutely powerful. It could actually go into armor and pierce through someone's armor. It was pretty good in, you know, behind a very strong Roman soldier. And the gladiators used to use it. It was quite well known. So why? Why does God just pick on a sword? If we're going to talk about, he's looking at a soldier, obviously. Paul the writer is looking at a soldier. God's inspiring him. Why isn't the word a javelin? Why isn't the word a dart? Why is the word of God seen as a sword? I've asked that question about myself. Has anyone else asked that question? Does anyone want to know what the answer is? Because everything that God does has a purpose. Amen? This is not by chance. This is something that, did that sound New Zealand? Chance. My New Zealand accent, chance. This sword was developed for close hand-to-hand combat. The greatest thing you could have in an army is to be able to annihilate an army from a distance. And the Romans were pretty good at that. They had catapults and all sorts of things, but when it came to hand-to-hand combat, there was nothing better, there was nothing more effective than this sword. There was nothing that could be used when you got up close. And I believe the number one reason that God has chosen this sword is simply for we as Christians, your biggest fight as a Christian is a personal fight. It's up and personal. Amen? We've got principalities and we've got powers and we get together and we pray for this. We pray for God to move in the heavenlies. We do. I get all that. But can I tell you, your biggest battle in your life as a Christian will be your own personal fight, your own personal walk with God. Would you agree? How many people would agree in this place? And we battle every day. Correct? I don't know about you, but you battle your thoughts, you battle temptation, you battle so many different things. And God wants to equip you with something that you can use personally every single day to bring victory into your life. God is about you. God designs, when he designs armor, he was thinking about you, the person. He's not thinking about just the masses of an army. He's thinking about the individual. God knows you by name. He knows your thoughts, your intents. He knows your grievances. He knows your hurts. He knows your pain. He knows everything about you. And when he put this armor together and when he designed his word to be a sword, he designed it for you personally as the best thing he could give you. To see your life increase and be all that he wants it to be. Amen? I love that. My God is a personal God. You know, there's other religions out there that portray their God not personally. Most religions out there, most things that people are into outside of Christianity are about this ethereal journey of coming to enlightenment or coming to this place of peace, or even for some religions, you've got to die before you sort of get to a place of notoriety. Amen? I mean, even the Muslim faith is about someone standing one day before Allah, but it's not really about personally having a relationship. Are you with me? But I love, I mean, I've, you know, you've got all sorts of theories out there and you've met people that believe if you live this way and do this and hum this many times and meditate, that you'll come to a place of consciousness, maybe by the end of your life, which will resemble something close to what we gain on the first day that we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's a personal relationship. Are you with me? God wants all this to be about something so intimate and so personal that he creates armor, he creates a weapon that's all to protect you, the person, the individual. He is so involved in who you're called to be. He has so designed you and so intricately made you with such purpose that everything you do and say and everything you're called to live for is absolutely vital to him. He's not missing anything. You're not some number of some huge army. God doesn't run his kingdom that way. He runs it personally. And the greatest way for him to show that is to take the most personal relationship that he had in his son and send his son to sacrifice for you personally. Are you with me? Man, take a breath and just think, wow, we landed in Christianity. We landed opposite a savior who sacrificed. The whole world wanted Jesus at that moment of salvation. They wanted him to annihilate the earth and overthrow the Romans and kill all the infidels. And the Jews wanted him to be victorious and come galloping forward on a horse with an army of angels and incredible heavenly hosts and annihilate their enemies. But what Jesus sent is a personal savior to sacrifice himself and to die on a cross so that we could have personal victory. Are you with me? Doesn't make sense. I mean, I like the fact that his second coming is going to be like that. All right? You know, there's rumors of Jesus coming back all over the place, but I can assure you by the word of God, when he comes back a second time, you won't be wondering. He'll come back with that whole army, with the whole host, and it's going to be glorious, and it's just going to be exciting. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 puts it this way. Can we flick into that? Because this is the personal thing. This is why God fashioned this sword. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, because Paul's thinking about this Roman sword, this two-edged sword. And look what he says it does. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm going to have to wrap this up real quick. This sword that God's given us, his word, can cut to the very core of who you are. Are you with me? There is nothing that God has given you better for your personal life and for your personal battle or for your success or for your peace for the rest of your life or for your fulfillment or for your happiness in your marriage or your relationships or your finance or your business or your emotional well-being. There is nothing better than this incredible sword, which is the word of God, which you can pick up every day, which every time you use it will cut through everything, right through your intents, well, things that you haven't even thought about. It'll cut through desires, it'll cut through all this rubbish, it'll cut through right to the core of the marrow is the core of who you are. It's where your blood is made. It's right in the center of you. And the word of God goes so deep and so personal in the form of a sword, and you get to use it whenever you want. And it's living and it's powerful, and everything bows to it. Everything bows to its authority. Your body does, your thoughts do, anything. If you give it and you wield it and you use it, and you believe in it, and you pick it up every day. Are you with me? You can grab that sword, and you can launch the biggest offensive of your life, which I believe is inside of you, to release God's purpose, and calling on your life. Amen? Doesn't get much better than that. My biggest battle is the battle with myself. Is there anyone else with me? Honestly, you can say there's all sorts of things out there and, you know, we're not facing an enemy that can kill us physically, but we face a battle every day. I know there's battles of lack of self-esteem in this room. I know there's battles of depression. I know there's battles of lack and there's battles of lack of self-worth. Maybe the keyboardist can come or whoever. I know there's so many battles, and what God wants to do is he just wants you to grab that sword that he's created, that personal sword, his word. And he says, just use it, please. Use it to cut through to the core of who you are and bring my blessing, bring my peace, bring my truth, bring my healing, bring what I've designed for you. Don't go into battle. Armor up. We've talked about it all. I'm going to get into the helmet of salvation because I can't wait to get into that. Whew. That's 2 weeks' time. Can't wait. But please, be a sword-wielding Christian. Draw it out. Get it ready. When you're lying in your bed late at night and you're racked with anxiety or worry or something's going on in your heart, grab the Word of God. Bring it into the situation, right into the center of all you are, and let it bring God's peace, his promise, his faith, and his revelation just to separate those feelings and tell you what's true and what's not true. Amen. When you're standing in a situation with a relationship or something going on or some big decision, go grab the Word of God and use it powerfully. When you're feeling overwhelmed, use the Word of God. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet?